This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome to the Joy of Living Creatively. I'm very pleased that you'll be joining me for today's show. Today's episode is part of a 9-part series called 9 Relationship Skills for Artists. In this series, we'll look at important relationship skills that artists can nurture so that they can become more effective advocates for their creative work and more comfortable players in the art marketplace. This series focuses on the relationship issues of visual artists, but the lessons I'm teaching can be directly translated for creative and performing artists in every discipline and for creators in any walk of life. Today's episode is called Managing Boundaries. Let's begin. As artists, we require solitude and alone time, probably more than the next person. But we also require human contact, human warmth, friendships, and marketplace advocacy. Life can grow too cold if we live it completely alone, and our career suffers if we avoid interactions with the people who might help us and who might appreciate our art. So, although we may consider ourselves introverts and feel happiest keeping ourselves company, we have many interpersonal needs that require our attention. How should we relate to our fellow artists, to gallery owners, to potential collectors, to publishers, and to the other people whose cooperation, consideration, and sometimes friendship we seek? By doing a good job of balancing genuine warmth and intimacy with healthy self-protection. It will not pay us to consider other people the enemy and interact with them aggressively or defensively, but it will also not pay us to naively put our complete trust in our fellow human beings. People can love each other, and people can also harm each other. Virtually every shade of interaction, from the kindest to the cruelest, is part of the human repertoire. One painter, a client of mine, complained that she was always being taken advantage of by friends, by the organizations where she volunteered, by family members, and by the few gallery owners with whom she dealt. I asked her what her role was in this unfortunate dynamic. She responded at length, but she never really answered. I wondered aloud if her very communication style, the way she had just responded to me, had been developed over time to spare her from saying things directly and clearly. I wondered if she spoke evasively and at length to save herself from saying short, sweet, strong things. She pondered this for a long moment, and then she agreed. She admitted that she had a terrible time saying no to people or directly announcing what she wanted and needed. This inability, which she could easily trace to childhood dynamics, resulted in people walking all over her. In therapy, we might have explored the childhood part at great length. As this was coaching, I went directly to the solution. I asked her to try speaking in sentences of no more than 6 or 7 words, and to say in those sentences exactly what she meant. We role-played a bit. The first issue was the way that her husband, who had recently retired early, kept visiting her in her studio space to chat about inconsequential matters. I asked her to craft a sentence of 7 words or less that would communicate what she wanted to say to him, that her painting time was precious to her. Her first efforts were grotesquely long, apologetic, and weak. Finally, after many, many tries, she arrived at, "I can't chat much while I'm working." "Can you say that to him?" I asked. "Yes," she replied. "How does that feel?" I continued. Very, very scary, she said. Next, we role-played a situation she was having with a fellow who did some printing work for her. He was the only person in her area equipped to do this work, and she liked both the work he did and his prices. But he was always inappropriate with her, saying things like, "You know, I have feelings for you, and most husbands don't understand their artist wives." "What do you want to say to him?" I asked. Having just practiced, she was quick to respond. "I need you to stop that," she said. "I am coming here to have prints made, period." She laughed. "That's two sentences, and one's a little long, but that's the idea, right?" she said. "That's exactly the idea," I agreed. When we say that a person has boundary issues, we mean that he is doing one or another of two inappropriate things, that he is insufficiently protecting his own being, or that he is aggressively intruding on others. A constant apologist has one kind of boundary issue. A stalker has another kind. As an artist, you want to be mindful of how you mean to relate to others and opt for the kind of strength that allows you to advocate for your own position and that protects you from the assaults of others. This is your work. No one else can do this for you. By the stances you take, by the words that you use, by the vibe that you give off, you let people know that you will not be anybody's dish rag. Some number of the artists, collectors, and marketplace players you meet will incline toward arrogance, unhealthy narcissism, and narrow self-interest. These aren't reasons to avoid dealing with them, as they may have many qualities and attributes that you like, and they may prove quite useful to you in your career. But you want to be both strong and careful in your dealings with them, and when they cross over a line or violate a boundary, demand that they act appropriately. You may not be used to making that sort of demand, and you may find it scary to speak that strongly and directly, but you are the only one who can maintain the right boundaries around your own being. The alternatives are to run away or to get run over, neither of which option will serve you or please you. Among the many things that we are not taught how to relate appropriately. We must discern this for ourselves and make conscious decisions about what we will accept and what we will reject in the interpersonal sphere. There is no perfect or clear line to draw in the sand, as each relationship is its own situation, with its own meaning, rules, and reality. But if we have the sense that we are continually having our boundaries violated, then there is only one place to look, directly in the mirror. That ends today's show. I hope that you enjoyed it, and I hope that you'll tune in next week for another episode of The Joy of Living Creatively. If you subscribe, you won't miss a single episode. To subscribe, please visit personallifemedia.com or look for The Joy of Living Creatively in iTunes. You might also want to visit my creativity blog, which is available at the personallifemedia.com website. If you'd like to drop me an email, I'd love to hear from you. My email address is eric@personallifemedia.com. And do visit my website to learn more about my books and services. To visit, just head over to ericmaisel.com. That's ericmaisel.com. Have an excellent day.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.